Title: Sampler Modulation Basics Masterclass at 170 BPM Intermediate. All right, welcome in. Today we're doing a sampler modulation masterclass for drum and bass at 170 BPM, and the goal is simple: stop your samples from just playing back and start making them move with intent. Because at 170, static sounds get exposed fast. The drums are relentless, the grid is tight, and if your bass or textures don't evolve, your loop will feel like it's stuck on bar one forever. So we're going to build movement in three ways: a fast hit shape for articulation, a synced rhythmic pulse for groove, and a longer evolution layer that makes things feel performed across 8 to 16 bars. By the end, you'll have two key tools. First, a Resish bass hit instrument built in Ableton sampler with filter movement, stable low end, and macros you can automate like an instrument. Second, a break texture layer that adds jungle style motion behind your main drums without you having to reach up the break every 8 seconds. Let's set up the session. Set your tempo to 170 BPM. Now create three MIDI tracks. Track 1 is bass sampler. Track 2 is break texture sampler. Track 3 is drums, and load a drum rack on it so you can drop in your kick, snare, and hats. Quick drum starting point. Put a kick on beat 1, and optionally a little ghost kick on 1.3 if you want that forward roll. Snare on beats 2 and 4. Hats on 8th notes or 16ths depending on how busy you like it. Then add a groove. Try MPC 16 swing 57, but keep it light. Think 10 to 20%. You want a roll, not a stumble. Cool. Now we build the bass instrument. On your bass sampler track, load Ableton sampler. Drag in a bass source. A short restab is perfect, but honestly anything with some harmonics can work. A gritty one shot, a resampled bass hit, even a wave that isn't too pure. First, set some behavior that fits DNB bass programming. Dart mono, set voices to 1. If you want glide, turn portamento on, and set it around 40 to 90 milliseconds for that legato slide that glues notes together in rollers. And check retrigger. Off gives smoother legato, on can be punchier and more consistent per hit. We'll come back to that because note overlap matters a lot for modulation. Now, make the sample playable as a sustained instrument, not a one-shot. Go to the sample tab and enable loop. Find a stable region that doesn't click. Then use crossfade, maybe 10 to 30 milliseconds, to smooth the transition. Teacher tip: don't chase the perfect loop for 10 minutes. Get it clean enough that the note holds, and we'll add character with filtering and saturation later. Next up, the core filter. This is where movement lives. In sampler, enable the filter. Choose LP24, that's the classic heavy, controlled low pass that works well for DNB weight. Set the cutoff somewhere like 200 to 800 Hz depending on your sample. Don't overthink the number. Set it by ear so the bass is present but not harsh. Add a little resonance, maybe 10 to 25%. And if there's drive available in your setup, a small amount is great. Now we add the first motion source, the filter envelope. This is your transient articulation. This is the yow at the start that helps bass speak through snares. Turn up filter envelope amount, something like plus 20 to plus 40 to start. Then shape the envelope. Attack basically instant, 0 to 5 milliseconds. Decay around 120 to 250 milliseconds. Sustain low, like 0 to 20%. Release around 50 to 150 milliseconds. Now play a few notes and listen to what you're getting. If you want rolling bass that feels tight and functional, keep decay shorter, like 120 to 170. If you want a foggier, longer bloom, push decay toward 250 to 450. But remember, at 170, long decays can smear into the next note fast, so your note lengths matter. And here's the big coach note. If you're playing legato and your notes overlap, your filter envelope might not retrigger every time. That means your yowl might only happen on the first note, then the rest feel flatter. If you need the articulation on every hit, either adjust retrigger behavior where it makes sense, or program tiny gaps between notes. Even a microscopic gap can bring the punch back. Alright, second motion source, a synced LFO for rhythmic pulse. This is your wobble, scan, and general rolling movement. Open the LFO in sampler. Turn sync on. Start with a rate of 1/8 note for that classic roll wobble, or 1/16th if you want that techie nervous buzz. Use a sine or triangle wave first. Those read as musical motion, not chaos. Then assign the LFO destination to filter frequency and keep the amount small to medium. You want motion, not a cartoon. If your bass disappears every other step, your LFO is too deep or your bass cutoff is too low. Now a really important stability technique, range limiting. Don't just crank LFO depth and hope. Set your bass cutoff where the bass already sounds good, Then let the LFO add movement around that point. If you want bigger changes, do them by moving the base cutoff with a macro or automation, not by increasing LFO depth to extreme values. That keeps you from hitting those moments where the filter slams into silence or suddenly gets painfully bright. Let's add a touch of life, subtle pitch drift. This is not wobble pitch. This is alive. Use the same LFO if you must, but better is a second LFO if you have it. Set it slow, like half note, one bar, even two bars. Destination is pitch, but the amount is tiny, think 1 to 5 cents. You should feel it more than hear it. If it sounds like a siren, you overdid it. Now we make it playable and groove aware. Velocity and key tracking. Map velocity to filter frequency with a moderate amount. The point is simple. Accents get brighter and more aggressive. Ghost notes get darker and tuck in. That instantly makes your MIDI performance sound less programmed. Then enable key tracking to the filter. Keep it small to medium. This stops higher notes from getting dull and lower notes from getting too bright. If you write bass lines across an octave, key tracking is the difference between why did that note disappear, and everything stays consistent. Now we turn this into an instrument you can actually perform and arrange with. Group the sampler into an instrument rack. Create some macros. Macro 1. Wobble. Map it to LFO amount going to filter cutoff. Macro 2. Bite. Map it to filter envelope amount, and maybe a touch of resonance. Bite is that front edge, the aggression. Macro 3. Dark to light. Map that to the bass filter cutoff position. Remember, bass cutoff changes are your safe, range-limited movement. Macro 4. Pump. Map it to amp release, and optionally some drive or saturation later. Shorter release is tighter and more urgent. Longer release is more smeary and weighty, but can cloud the groove if you overdo it. And quick workflow advice. Write the bass line first with simple settings, then automate wobble and bite over 8 to 16 bars for progression without changing a single MIDI note. That's how you get arrangement out of modulation. Now we build the break texture layer. This is that behind-the-scenes motion that makes drums feel like they're breathing without wrecking your main drum programming. On break texture sampler, load simpler in slice mode if you want quick chopping, or use sampler if you want deeper modulation. Pick a break with nice tops, amen style, think break, whatever you've got. Then high pass it, put auto filter after it in high pass 12 mode, and set it somewhere around 200 to 500 Hz. The goal is, no low-end competition. This is texture, not kick and bass. Now, the fun part. Modulate sample start. In sampler, assign an LFO to sample start or sample offset, depending on what you see. Rate at 1/16th or 1/8th. Amount tiny. You're not trying to move to a different drum hit. You're trying to subtly shift which micro slice of the transient you catch each time. That creates constant variation in hats and air and grit, without re-editing the break. Add some jungle spice with a bandpass flutter. Put another auto filter after the sampler. Set it to bandpass. Frequency around 2 to 6 kHz. Resonance maybe 20 to 40%. Then modulate that filter frequency. If you have max for live, drop an LFO device and sync it to 1/8 or 1/4, small amount. If you don't, use auto filter zone LFO where applicable, or just automate the frequency by hand in the arrangement. The point is, subtle movement that reads as old-school motion, not someone swept a filter randomly. Now let's do some stock-only context processing, just enough to make it sound like a record. On the bass track after sampler, add saturator. Analog clip mode works great. Drive around 2 to 6 dB. Soft clip off and on. Then EQ8, high pass at 25 to 35 Hz to clear useless rumble. If it's muddy, dip a bit around 200 to 350. If it's harsh, look around 2 to 5 kHz and tame it. Then glue compressor for cohesion. Attack 10 milliseconds, release auto and just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. Don't crush it, we're gluing. Then utility, keep bass mono. If you want width, keep it out of the sub. A solid check is to temporarily switch the whole bass to mono. If the bass collapses dramatically, you've got phase problems. Fix it by keeping width above roughly 150 Hz using EQ8 in mid/side mode, or keep unison and widening on the mid layer only. On the break texture chain, after your sampler and high pass, add drum bus for a bit of drive and crunch. Redux is optional, tiny amount for edge, then a short, dark reverb. Decay maybe 0.4 to 0.9 seconds. Keep it subtle, and cut low so it doesn't cloud the mix. Now arrangement. This is where modulation becomes storytelling. Think 16-bar phrases, because DNB loves structure. Bars 1 to 8, controlled. Lower wobble, controlled bite. Let drums and bass lock like a machine. Bars 9 to 12, bring the variation. Increase wobble gradually, Maybe shorten amp release a touch so it feels urgent. Bars 13 to 16. Do a deliberate fill. Spike filter envelope melt. Maybe bump resonance briefly. Maybe add a tiny push of saturator drive. Then do a hard cut for a quarter note or half a bar before the next section. That mute moment is a classic signpost. It makes the drop feel bigger without adding any new sounds. Here's an advanced mindset that will level you up. Think in modulation lanes, not devices. You want three independent motion sources. One is transient articulation from an envelope. Two is rhythmic pulse from a synced LFO. Three is long evolution from a slow LFO or manual automation across 8 to 16 bars. If you only use synced LFO, everything feels like a one-bar loop. If you only use envelopes, it can feel stiff. Lend them. Another powerful trick. Velocity control in wobble depth. Instead of only mapping velocity to cutoff, map velocity to the LFO amount, or map it to a macro that controls LFO amount. Now accents wobble more, ghost notes wobble less. That is huge for groove clarity at 170. And if repeated notes start sounding like a machine gun, add controlled randomness. Tiny random to sample start, or tiny random to filter frequency. Or do a simple round robin style rack, duplicate the sampler into two or three chains, make each chain slightly different, and switch between them using velocity ranges or clip variations. The listener hears variety, but you keep control. Alright, quick common mistakes to avoid as you do this. Don't overmodulate the low end. If your sub is swinging wildly with filter movement, your whole mix will wobble and lose punch. Keep sub stable, put movement in the mids, roughly 150 Hz to 4K Hz. Don't overdo resonance. At 170, resonant peaks can turn into whistles fast. Use resonance like seasoning. Don't let stereo bass get out of control. Wide res is great, wide sub is not. Always check mono compatibility. And don't accept loop clicks. Fix loop points and use crossfade. Clicking loops scream unfinished no matter how good the modulation is. This audio version is shortened for playback.